God. Well, Brother Caleb and I, we just got back from a great meeting. It was outstanding, too, I think. The convention center meeting in Louisville. I think Brother Ross got up the opening day and opened the service. I don't think he got on his feet after that. It just flowed with, and I don't know if I've ever been in a meeting where every preacher got up the first day and talked on the Holy Ghost. And every one of them were hooked up. I mean, they were all highly inspired talking on the Holy Ghost. And then that night, we had... can't remember what we had the first night. It might have been maybe Brother Enrique got up. But after he sat down, then somebody else got up and then started back in on the Holy Ghost. And then the next day, Holy Ghost again, Brother Bud. Brother Bud preached a good message. He preached on being a 212 church. You know, he asked us, you know, like, can y'all tell me who placed second in the Kentucky Derby? Or who won, you know, some of y'all, if you're baseball fans, who won the World Series last year? Or who was the NBA champion? Who won the NBA championship? See, I can tell you that. San Antonio Spurs. Now, I'd have to think a minute to tell you who they beat to win it. Because, see, that don't matter. If you didn't win, Brother Tally said it's Miami, and he's right. If you just don't hardly ever remember even the horse in a horse race that just lost by a nose. And he was telling us, he said, he was talking about water boils at 212 degrees. but it won't boil at 211. It'll make a bunch of racket in the pan, bubbles, but it won't boil. It won't make steam till it hits 212. And steam's power. He said, so do you want to be a 211 church or a 212 church? You know, you want to be a 212 church with the power to overcome, or just bear, not quite get there, just be a 211 church? Or and he said, you know, when you hit 212, he said, that's when Jesus said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. He said, that's when you're well done, when you're boiling at 212 degrees. You get well done. So I asked him afterwards, I said, where'd you get that? He told me somebody in his church went to some kind of seminar and they brought it home to him, and he kind of tweaked it a little bit. Anyway, he took up the offering and did a good job. And then somebody talked on the Holy Ghost again. And then that night, the band played and the choir sang, and the Spirit of God fell in that place from the back of the platform all the way to the back of the building. And it was, well, that was it. We didn't do any. We thought around 8:30 it was going to settle down. Started at 7. But then they started singing Brother William Souders' song that he wrote, Goodbye, Hallelujah, I'm Gone. And the whole worship area filled back up again. People got to dancing and shouting, and it broke out again. And I guess it stayed till about 9:30, or, you know, I don't know when they all got out of there. Brother Ross finally told us we could go home, but some of them were still in the floor, and it was breaking out all over the building. It was a great move of the Spirit, wasn't it, Brother Caleb? It was a great, great move of God. And I was glad to see it, because some people just can't get on board with the convention center yet. You know, they just, no matter how much the ministry wants to tell people that God's in this, He's in this coming together. And of course, if you meet any of these men or around them, they're princes. These men are just, they're worthy of honor. You just can't get around them and keep from loving them, because you just see that they're genuine. And they've got this message. It's the same as we do. And things that's happened in the past, these men weren't even here when it happened. They don't, you know, so you can't hold them responsible for the past. You just got to let it go. That's the trouble sometimes. People can't let go of the past. But we've got to let go. I've mentioned it a few times here, and that if you would have been looking at Israel when Jesus was born, you would have said, it's not time for the Messiah. Because Israel was in a mess. He came to his own. He didn't come to Gentiles right then. That was later, after he departed. He told the little woman, you know, was it, that he said, it's not meat for the, to give bread to the children's bread to the dogs. Called her a dog. And the best he could do is just say, whatever your faith is, so be it unto you. And but he came to his own, the Jews. He came in the end of their world for them. And they were in a mess. They were divided, separated. They were under really Roman pressure of a dragon beast system at that time, but you wouldn't have thought anybody was spiritual enough for Jesus to come to so that they could reach perfection. You know, and if you're looking at our condition, you'll miss it, because it doesn't have anything to do with whether or not we're worthy or whether or not we're in a place for God to do what He's going to do. It has to do with His timing, He knows what he's doing. He knows what time it is to come. And I keep using that scripture in Songs of Solomon where he said, "Wake the Shulamite," said, "Wake not my beloved until he be pleased." She charged the other daughters of Jerusalem. In other words, don't try to wake him up and get him awake and paying attention to you until it's time. It's going to be, you're going to have to wait on his time for this. But we can serve God in our generation. And we can be thankful for the fact that we can live a just or righteous life. I think everyone needs to keep that in mind, those words that are synonymous to be righteous, just, upright, sanctified, holy, saints, wise. Did I say wise? Faithful. Yeah, I said holy. There's eight terms that are synonymous with just, being just or righteous, upright. If you live for God all that you know to live, do all you know to do, you're just, and there's a resurrection for the just. I don't want to be in the resurrection of the unjust. I think if we can stay, the resurrection of the unjust is for people that are out in the world that are God's children that went back out in the world. And for people that are in church but they're not living a dedicated life, that's unjust. And then for people that's the dead, and then hell gives up the dead that's in it. And that's people that's in religion that aren't living all they know to live. That they're not living by faith. They're not dedicated. But they're in a prison of religion. Well, you'll be able to get out of that in a restored church. The seventh chapter of the book of Revelation tells us that the four winds of destruction, which is going to bring devastation, to bring God's wrath in the end of the Gentile world, are going to be held back until he seals his servants in their foreheads. That tells you something, that God is not going to let, he's not going to pour out his wrath, and he's not going to let destruction come on this world until he finishes making up his bride. And there's something coming from when God gets ready to do that. He hadn't made up his bride yet. He hasn't sealed his servants in their forehead yet. That happens in the end of the Gentile world when destruction is about to come. So that tells us that there's something powerful, more powerful than we've ever been able to have. That doesn't mean we don't have any power now. I don't know. I'm not sure we're making steam yet. I'm not sure we're 212 church yet. But we may be rattling in the pan a little bit. I think we ought to try to, get all God would give us right now and get as close as we can get. We can be just anyway. We may not have all the power of God that we need yet, but that's up to him. All we can do is all we can do. And in his time, he's going to make up the bride. And I'm thankful for that. Brother D.L. Jones also got up in one of the services and just did a masterpiece. I thought he just did excellent. He talked on so many different things that I don't know I wouldn't know where to start to tell you, but I did order the tapes. The DVDs. My plane left at 2 o'clock on a Monday, and so I had to leave to be at the airport by 12:30, and he closed service, I think, at 12:30. But I had to leave right before that, and they didn't have the tapes ready, so they're mailing them to us, but I'm sure we'll get them pretty soon, just in the next few days, and I'll get them to Brother Painter, and he can get some copies made, because it certainly would be a meeting you'd enjoy watching, get the feeling of it, hear the good messages. Brother D.L. Jones he's an inspiration to me to have all of the things that he has in his health. You know, he's blind. He's talked about it before, how, in fact, I was in Portland, Oregon, when I heard him give his testimony that the greatest blessing he ever received from God was when God took his eyesight away. When he made that statement, I thought, I got to hear this. You know, because that couldn't have been a great blessing to me. It wouldn't sound like it. But he just began to talk about all the great experiences that he had. Even, when he lost his eyesight, his both retinas and both eyes are detached. But one night he was praying for some people. He prayed for a sister, and her leg was crippled, and she had, I don't remember if it's some disease or if it's, she had an accident or what, but she was crippled in one leg, and she came up to get prayed for, and he prayed for her, and he said while he was praying, I was praying for her, and I was thinking, God, these people want me to heal them, and I'm blind as a bat. I'm the one that needs healed. But anyway, he said, I was praying for that little sister, and he said, God healed her leg instantly. And she took off, she threw her crutches down and took off running and run around the church and then run outside and run around the parking lot and came back in running. And he said, I told God, I was watching that, and the church was getting excited about it. And he said, I said, God, why would you use me to heal somebody, but you won't heal me? And he said, the Lord said, I can heal you. He said, I'll prove to you I can heal you. And he just opened his eyes and he could see 20/20. And he was able to see like that for about a week. And he said, I saw my daughter, my oldest daughter. I saw everybody. He said, I saw everyone. And he said, but by the end of that week, the Lord told me, he said, you see, I can heal you, but it ain't my will. That's not my will for you. And he said, by that night, I was blind again. He took my sight back away. And anyway, I talked to him in this meeting. I talked to him quite a bit. And I asked him a lot of questions about being blind. And I've had some experiences. The reason I've asked him questions, I've had some experiences that it's almost like a phobia that, sometimes I woke up in the night and it would be pitch dark and I'd think, God, have I went blind? I can't see nothing. There ain't any light anywhere. I did that one time in the Dominican Republic and I was in a motel room and I got up and I got to tripping over myself. I couldn't find the light. I couldn't find my way to the door. And I thought, I just thought, I've got to find out. I even opened the door. I opened the door, looked out, said, hallelujah, I can see. But I went through that for about a year, several times, just would wake up and feel like I'd lost my eyesight. And I felt like God was showing me that how terrible it is to be blind spiritually, to be in darkness and not have any light or understanding of the things of God. Of course, people, there's not very many people that are spiritually blind that even know they're blind. Most people don't know they're spiritually blind when they're spiritually blind, but I know that I would know I was blind if I went blind. You can go blind spiritually. Do you know that? I've seen that happen. I've seen people go blind. People who once had this great revelation and lost it. And God has to keep it real. That's part of what I feel like God was telling us as a body in Louisville, Kentucky. I felt like he was saying it was all about the Holy Ghost. But I didn't feel like it wasn't because a lot of people needed the Holy Ghost. I mean, nearly everybody in there had it. There's just a few that got it. But I felt like God was saying to us, this thing is an operation of the Spirit. It's an operation of the Holy Ghost. And y'all need to depend on me. You need to long, Brother Souders is, you know, one of his telltale marks was the sign that he put up in the back. You know, up here he put up, watch the Spirit. Of course, back there he finally put up, watch your Spirit. After they got into the threshing floor and began to see how men's spirits weren't that, easy to control, they put that up. Watch your Spirit for the preachers. But watch the Spirit, to be mindful of what the Spirit is doing. I think we can do that. We have to watch the Spirit in our lives. I think God wants to be a part of everything in our life. I think God would like to direct each step. I think God would like for us to get to a place where we were so yielded to him and so in tune with him that we could say like Jesus did when he said, I always do the will of my Father, my Lord. But we don't always do the will of the Father. I mean, you've got, you know, it takes a growth. It takes a development of getting to a place that Jesus was at, and it takes that assistance from having all that God has to be enlightened, to be with a sevenfold light. There's the seven candlesticks and that Zechariah saw when the angel showed him that the candlestick with seven lights and two olive trees beside it. That those olive was going out of those bowls into those coming out of those trees into those bowls and filling them with olive oil. And the angel told him, said, this is the word of God unto Zerubbabel. And then he said, what are these two trees? He said, well, that's the two witnesses that stand by God. But he said, these are the seven eyes of God that go to and fro. Well, that's God's ministry, the seven spirits of God. And for us to have that sevenfold light in its full operation, it's going to take the restoration of the early church, or the church, for us to have that full operation. Even though I think we've got the fivefold ministry today, but I don't think it's in its complete operation. And I think God and Christ and the fivefold ministry are the seven eyes of God, but we've got a high priest. Thank God we've got a high priest today that is operating out of the holy place as well as the holy of holies, and he is making available to us what we need for right now. And so, I'm asking God. I still want to be in a place where I want the truth no matter what it is and no matter how much of it I don't have. If I've got something wrong, I want it fixed because, we can't. If we got something wrong, it's got to get fixed for us to have the sevenfold light, a perfect light. And but for God to work in every facet of our lives, that takes a growth and it's a journey. I know of a couple in the body that got married, and they kind of got married in a hurry. I was worried about them getting married because they got, you know, I mean, they just kind of jumped into it. And they started out right away saying, both of them saying, God put us together. And the reason they said that was because they was having trouble. And they kept saying that because that's what kept them together, is trying to convince themselves that God put them together. And I've heard them say that 1,000 times if I've heard them say it once. And every time they said it, it's just as hollow as the first time I heard them say it. Because I know God didn't put them together. God may have allowed them. He didn't prevent it. But God's going to help them stick together. You know, it's like thinking that God's in every facet of your life. It's like everything that's wrong in your life, you think God's putting you through it. Well, God ain't putting you through every wrong thing that you're going through. You're putting yourself through the biggest part of it. Our biggest trouble is right between our ears, somebody said. Our biggest problems, most of our problems are problems that we've caused we brought them upon ourselves. But God can help us correct that. And of course, you still got to take it right. You still have to go through, accepting situations that you're in. God didn't design all of that. I think people ought to get that out of their head. One of the things that hit me in this meeting was the prayer lines. Man, they were gigantic. And I mean, like from here to the pew, all the way across the building. And the building about twice as wide as this one. And in fact, you couldn't get to all the people hardly to pray for them. I mean, they stood in line for a long time. We had long prayer lines. And one of the things that came to me, I thought, God, we're probably not supposed to be asking you to deliver us from every problem we've got. You know, it's probably not your will to just deliver us. You know, I told y'all my coon dog story with his bone on his jaw. When I asked God, I said, I don't have no money. I want you to help me. He said, help yourself. You can get that bone off that dog. Quit asking me to be your cosmic Santa Claus. You know, to fix every little thing. There's some things you can do. You may take my help. It may take me touching your mind. It may take me, may take patience. It may take work. But, so, I know I'm, you know, one of the things I'm, and this is something I'm not working on this right now, but I'll mention it, that, you know, my blood pressure is right at the point of needing to take high blood pressure medicine. But I know, and I've decided to try to do something about it. I've went to work on it. I've started working out and trying to, you know, get, I know if I can get this weight off of me, I won't have to take high blood pressure. I know part of my health problems are going to be me, you know. And I know how, at my age, it's difficult. It's difficult to change your, you know, I just don't get any exercise. That's the thing, is my lifestyle, you have to make yourself do some things, you know. You have to make time to do some things. There's some things I can do to be healthy. I'm just saying, I can do some things to make me healthier. And that's not, everybody's not in, you know, until I decided that for myself, you couldn't fix that for me. In fact, I didn't want to hear it. I didn't want to hear about it. Because I'm going to have to get to a place where I want to do this. I can't do this for y'all, for you. You know, if you want me to, you know, you're going to have to get me caring more about you if you want me to fix me for you. So, I guess I still love me more. I'm sorry, but I'm working on loving y'all. I do love y'all. I think I do. I think I've got something in my heart for all of you, but it don't exclude me yet. But anyway, so it was really a great meeting, and there was great moves. But I do feel like what God was saying to us was, you need to depend on the Holy Ghost. This started in the Holy Ghost, and it'll end in the Holy Ghost. And we need to depend on it. And we need help. I think it's time for God's, I think we're getting to a place where God's will deal with people and add more people to us. When the Spirit of God, when business picks up in the kingdom of God, the crowd will pick up. And I came home Monday, my wife picked me up at the airport, and we went straight to a restaurant to eat. I hadn't ate anything since breakfast, and it was like 6 o'clock. And so just while I was there in the restaurant, I invited my waiter. I gave her a card and invited her to come to church. And then I invited the girl at the door to come to the church. And then I invited the one that got my money to come. I said, I'm going to start inviting people. I've got lax on that. I thought, I'm just going to start, if you invite 1,000 and one comes, you think heaven would be glad if somebody got saved? It just, if it's just 1 in 1,000, what if you invited 10,000 and 10 came? If you could get 50 people inviting 1,000, you invited 50,000 and you'd get 50 to come. I think God blesses. He does bless you for your efforts. You can't catch fish if you don't go fishing. And you ain't going to catch one. You got to have a worm. So you got to have a smile on you. You got to have something that makes a fish want to bite. And so you got to be kind. You got to smile. Brother D.L. Jones inspired me about that, because he said when he got saved, he said, I personally knocked on every door in every neighborhood around the entire church that Brother Jefferson's church, and I invited every one of them to come to church. I told them, you need to come. You need God. You need to come. He'd say, I'd ask him, do you have the Holy Ghost? Huh? You need it. He said, I didn't say a whole lot to him. I just invited him. I asked him one time about that. I said, what do people say when y'all invite them? If y'all go out crusade to inviting people to church? He said, most of them said, it's about time somebody besides a Jehovah Witness knocked on their door. He said, we get that a lot. So, anyway, he's still working for God. He's blind. He has to go to kidney dialysis. He told me, he said, I'm not a martyr. He said, I told God, as long as you get glory out of my health and blindness, just go ahead and get it. But the minute you're through getting it, give me my health back, my eyesight back. He said, I don't have to die a martyr. That don't mean that much to me. And I have thought about God. When you look at the Apostle Paul and you think about the suffering this man went through, here's probably one of the very most important men on the face of the earth in God's kingdom, in God's design, God's purpose on the earth. Here's one of the most important men that ever lived. He got beat with a cat of nine tails 3 times. I imagine he thought he was going to die. He was. How many times was he in prison? 3, I know of. So he's shipwrecked. He went through so much. In fact, I guess if you probably tallied it up, he probably suffered more than Jesus. probably went through more suffering and pain. And there's a scripture I might read you on in the book of Hebrews about that. I'm not going to teach here tonight, but I was reading this the other night, and I'm one of those preachers that I don't want to be. You know, I don't want y'all to be calling other preachers and say, we need some water down here in Arkansas because this preacher's about to burn us up. I don't want to be one of those guys. But, you know, I do realize that my gift, if I'm not careful, I had my brother-in-law one time when I hadn't been pastoring too many years. And he came, he lived in town. Of course, he was called to the ministry, and he was gifted. He's not in church today. He's been out of church a long time. But I still believe God's going to get him one of these days. I hope it's not in the resurrection of the unjust, but I still feel like God loves him. He says he's his child. But one day he came over to my house when we was in the Midland, and we was in the backyard, and he said to me, he said, can you say anything to us that, you know, is not judging us? Is there anything you can preach to us that don't condemn us? And he talked to me about that I sat there and listened to him, and I thought, he's telling the truth. You know, because my gift is a prophet's gift is judgmental. It judges. It's a judging gift. So I have to work on, you know, being, lightening it up. Because I don't know why, but that's just my gift works on the sobering things, I guess, more. But, which I'm faxing to do right here. But I'm not going to set the nail. I'm not going to try to set the nail. Right here in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, where he's talking about how that God chastises us because it's for our good. We've got fathers that chastise us, at, you know, for their own pleasure or their own will, whatever they feel like, you know, But Jesus, God's chastisement is for, it's to help you. It's for your benefit. And let's just start in the 10th verse where he said, for they, verily for a few days, our fathers, chastise us after their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. In other words, this is no good thing to go through chastisement, but when we do go through it and it works, if it works what it's supposed to work, it brings the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those that receive it. But the next few verses is what I picked up on. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. In other words, when it really is God, you know, in other words, when you're not going through sorting out the mess that you've made for yourself, but God is working in your life. He's really putting you through something. It's God doing it. Then he said, don't, you know, lift up your hands that are hanging down and your feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Or sometimes people can't take God's chastisement. You know, they get angry at God. You know, in other words, they don't feel like it's fair. Like the Apostle Paul, what do you think he thought? God, I could be doing so much more for you if you get me out of this dungeon. You know, these guys treat me like a dog in here. Of course, he saved everybody ever, you know, in all them dungeons. Seemed like he got them all saved eventually. But, you know, don't you know he'd have rather had a prison ministry where he went down there and preached a message and they all got saved because of what they felt and seen the power of God rather than to watching him go through his prisoner garb and experiences. But God didn't deliver him from all of that. You'd have thought, you know, God, I've been beat twice with a cat of nine tails. Could you get me out of this one? And God said, nah, just go ahead and let them beat you. Just go ahead and let them beat you up. Really, I really believe this. I think there's a power, an inner strength from the Holy Ghost that carries you through those things, that it's not anything to the person that it's happening to, like the people that's beholding it. I just think God gives you something that carries you through it, that helps you, you know, he's with you in it, and that the power of God. Thank God, he mentions in here that none of us have suffered blood. We hadn't, you know, none of us have been had been beaten or gave any of our blood or, you know, for the gospel yet. And he mentions that in here to some of these people. But let's go on here. But he says in verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. You know, we always hear preachers quote this scripture, follow holiness without which no man will see the Lord. But how many preachers you hear say, follow peace and holiness without which no man will see the Lord? We don't work on the peace part very much. We work on this holiness message. You know, that's why preachers pick up that scripture to preach, you know, mainly holy dress, you know, holy standards, which I think we are to dress in a way that's becoming of Christians. But I think we are to take the other half of this scripture and follow after peace. We are to seek peace with our husbands and wives and brothers and sisters and friends and men, people, companions on the job, and, you know, as much as possible, much as lies within you. You can't always accomplish it, but with God, the Bible said God will make your enemies be at peace with you. You have to depend on that, him for that. But then he says, without which no man will see the Lord, then looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest, now look at this part, any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. What bitterness is he talking about? Where's this root of bitterness come from? Why does he put that in there right there? He's dealing with God's chastisement. God dealing with your life, and if you don't take it right, you'll get bitter. You'll feel like you've been unfaired. You've been treated unfairly. But if you can accept and be content where you're at and whatever God lets you go through, and, you know, sometimes you don't know. Am I going through this, God, because I created this problem for myself, or you put me through this? You don't always know. I mean, sometimes you can know, but other times you're not sure what God's doing. So you still need God's help to get out of it, to lift up your hands that hang down and your feeble knees and make straight the paths for your feet. In other words, that means begin to straighten it out. Get line up with God. Face whatever it is you're going through and ask God to help you get through it. And, you know, whatever it is, no matter how minor or how great it might be. So, I just thought I'd bring that up. That, you know, here then he brings up Esau, how he sold his birthright just because he got in a position where he was so hungry and wanted something for himself more than he wanted his birthright, and he sold out. Well, you can want out of the problem. You can want out of your situation enough that you can give up the things of God to get out of it. Well, I don't want to give up the things of God to get out of anything. I want to stick with it because I know that he will work it for my good if I'll just hang on to him and ask him to help me and deliver me. And so I don't want to just always be working on what's going to save people to the uttermost. I enjoy seeing what will save us from today's troubles and even people saved from their sins. And I'd like to see us get some new people in here. And I want you to help me work on that. And it's going to take, we pray for these song leaders and the band. It takes a lot of music to get a lot of water flowing in a church. And singers, y'all need to get back to singing. If you want to get God working in here, get people lifted up, get songs going. Get to singing good songs. I was one of the things I picked up in Dallas while I was there, Sister Cheryl Neptune, of course. Well, she got on that piano and she got to playing. She sang a song. This was after somebody preached. In fact, I thought it's time to close the service. And she got up and started singing, and I thought, well, they're going to finish this song. She just went to another song. That didn't do what she felt like it ought to do. She just went to another. That didn't do it either. She just went to another. She didn't even quit once. She just go right into another. Four or five of the guys went up there and got mics and started helping her. Before long, we got happy in that place, They just kept drilling. Finally, they hit water. Well, I appreciate our piano players. Aren't we thankful for them? They are gifted and they're able to get a hold of God for us and help us. And I'm just saying, let's help them. Let's get behind them. When they start singing, let's get to singing with them. Rather, it don't matter how you feel. It's the way it is in the Dominican Republic. I'm wondering if we ought not start trying it. They just get up before the service starts. And the pastor grabs a mic, and maybe somebody else, and they just start saying, "Hallelujah! Glory! Praise God! Hallelujah!" Everybody else just starts doing it with them. They just keep praising him there for a little while, every time a good spirit comes in, you feel a good covering. You feel good about it. Well, they get shucking the flesh off first thing. "Hallelujah," they'll say. "Glory be to God." And it works. And we may have to work on that a little bit. Because I want to see us get happy, be happy, praising God. It don't matter what you're going through, you can always praise him. Something to praise him about. I mean, Paul and Silas, I don't know. Now, they might for a little while, they might have been kind of, and boy, they tore your back up, Silas. You're a mess. You're still bleeding back there. And he's in them stocks. I'd wipe it for you, but I can't get to you. Got my hands and feet in stocks, and hurting it going on. But one of them evidently at some point said, "Well, let's just sing. Let's sing." And they probably started singing. Something like we're singing tonight. "What a mighty God we serve." Yeah. It wasn't very deal. They might not have thought, they might not have known when they first started singing, but I guarantee when them shackles fell off of them, they got happy. They thought, "Whoo, something's happening." here. But whether God delivered them or not, they felt like praising him. That they were counted worthy to suffer for his name's sake. My word. I've told God, I said, "God, let me get this rooted in me so deep that I'd serve you in adversity." I hadn't had very much adversity. I've had a few, church people. I hadn't had anybody out in the world, but I had a few church people spit in my face and tell me why didn't I get home and go home and go back where I came from. And we don't want you around here. I've had a few church people tell me that. But I hadn't had anybody in the world tell me anything like that. But that's not any real adversity, you know. The government hadn't come in here against us yet. It may not happen in my lifetime. I don't know. But if I live to be very much older, it might. A whole lot older, which I'm planning on doing, by the way. Praise God. All right, let's have prayer here. And I don't know if some of y'all want to say something else, but receive the offering. I wanted to give something on my pledge, so let's let the brethren come and at least, you know, if you want to. Yes, Sister Fisher. Yes, she texted me too. And she's going in for our test to the doctor that operated on her last time. So we want to pray for her. I told her we'd be sure to pray. Sister Michelle? Who? CJ. DJ. DJ. All right, let's remember him, Brother Durham. Okay. All right, let's remember that. What else? Sister Ann? Okay. Her uncle's on hospice, her dad's brother, and Brother Paul got called back out tonight on the job, so let's remember him. This is that time of year, you know, that he's snowed under with the air conditioning work mostly. Keep praying for the Dominican Republic work. They're working on the roof in Coma Home on Brother Calderon's building. I gave them the first $1,500 and they've already spent it. And they put up columns. You know, they're putting a concrete roof over this building. And if we're going to, and they mostly have to put concrete roofs over there because it's about the only thing that'll withstand hurricanes. There's only kind of other roof that withstands hurricanes very well is those grass roofs. Thatch roofs. It's amazing. Those roofs withstand hurricanes better than any other kind of roof other than concrete roofs. But you can't build anything on top of them, of course. Anyway, let's pray for. They're putting that on there and trying to get the roof up. Of course, now he's wanting more money to finish it, and so I said, "All right, well, we're gonna work on that." So, and they're having a meeting this week, this coming weekend. The churches from Santiago and Santo Domingo and Barbado and Higuay and Guerrero and La Romana are all coming together. And so let's pray that for their meeting. That they've got some new churches coming together over there with them, new preachers. What else? Yes. All right. Nathan's in classes for his new job. He's working. Brother Michael's in a fair on his job and it's tonight through the weekend. So but he said, "I won't miss any more Wednesday nights or Sundays after this, but I've got to be in this fair for this week." So let's pray for him. He called in. All right, Brother Daniels. All right. All right. Okay. And then has everybody got some of our church cards to give people to invite them to church? If you don't, well, we've got some, so Sister Weininger can probably help you with getting some. And if you get some, give them to some of the people that's always here on Sunday, that's never here on Wednesday. Give them a card and invite them on Wednesday night, would you? All right, let's stand and ask God to meet these needs. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us, your mercy. God, for your grace. Lord, meet these needs. We just lift them up to you, Lord. I know you know every situation. You're the master, we sing, of every situation. Oh, God, ask you to help us with these needs, Lord. Each one that's sick or ailing in their bodies, God, touch them. Lift them up. Brother and Sister Crow, touch them. Keep them encouraged, Jesus. Oh, God, each one of these needs, Brother Daniel's son, touch him. Oh, Lamb of God, Sister Fisher, and Sister, Brother and Sister Bryant, God, touch them. Touch their bodies. Help them, Lord, encourage them. Sister Karen and the children, help them, oh, God, we pray. Blessed be the Lamb of God, Brother Johnson's wife, Lord, touch her. Help her, oh, God. Hallelujah. Touch DJ tonight, Lord. Brother Dodson, those that couldn't be here tonight, God, ask you to reach out and touch them. Encourage your people, Lord, we pray. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Let me see, brother. No, we don't have any pans. Wonder where they're at. Brother Phil's getting them. Okay. All right.
Let there be singing. Let there be joy. Let there be praise in the house of the Lord. Let there be mercy. Rejoice, rejoice. We're building together the house of the Lord. Let there be singing. Let there be joy. Let there be praise in the house of the Lord. Let there be mercy, rejoice, rejoice, we're building together the house of the Lord. Let there be singing, let there be joy, let there be praise in the house of the Lord. Let there be mercy, rejoice, rejoice. Of the Lord. Let there be singing. Let there be joy. Let there be praise in the house of the Lord. Let there be mercy. Rejoice, rejoice. We're building together the house of the Lord. Oh, let there be singing and let there be joy. Let there be praise in the house of the Lord. Let there be mercy. Rejoice, rejoice. We're building together the house of the Lord. Yes, let there be singing. Oh, let there be joy. And let there be praise in the house of the Lord. Rejoice, rejoice, we're building together the house of the Lord. Let there be singing. rejoice. We're building together the house of the Lord. Oh, let there be singing and let there be joy. Rejoice, we're building together the house of the Lord. Oh, let there be singing and let there be joy. Let there be praise in the house of the Lord. Let there be mercy. Rejoice, rejoice.
Let me give you a good report, too. I forgot to mention it. I've mentioned this in prayer requests, I think, several times. Cookie and Josecito. It's Denise, but she goes by Cookie. That's what everybody calls her. So, they're in St. Martin Island. And Josecito's brother Calderon's son. And I love to watch this guy sing and praise God. He's I don't think any of y'all, maybe some that went over there first, because he's not over there right now and hadn't been there for years. Because he's in St. Martin. But her daddy is a French. He's a citizen of France, and she was born in France, and so she's a citizen of France. So with a French passport, you can come to, you don't have to have a visa. You can come to America with a French visa. Well, they moved to Saint Martin because it's French owned. It's French and Holland. What are they? Dutch. It's French and Dutch. Half this little old island, you can ride around on it on a bicycle. But half of it's owned by France, and the other half's owned by the Dutch. And we've got a Haitian church there. And so they moved there so that he could apply for his... And they've been living there at least 5 or 6 years. Well, she called me last night and said his papers came in. He's a citizen of France. He got his, and so I've been talking to him about moving here. I told him I wanted him to move here when he got his papers, because I wanted him to, I want him to learn more about the body in America so they can help in the Dominican Republic more. And they both can speak English fairly well, not the best. They would struggle with it a little bit, but they can do pretty good. So anyway, that's a wonderful report, because I've been, they call me every few months and I say, what about Josecito's papers? Well, then he'd go, to the embassy, and they'd say, no, you're not, we're not going to give it to you yet. And so, they call me. She called last night. And of course, they got a little baby girl that's 1 year and 2 months old that I haven't even seen. And I've never even seen it yet. So I excited me. Brother Fleming? Well, I haven't heard from him since the last time he called. He said he was still coming, but it's not It's sometime in September is what I heard, but I haven't heard. A boy got a scholarship to go to college in Conway, and brother, he's from Miami, or actually West Palm Beach. But his pastor said, I'll let you move up there if you'll go to Little Rock Church, but I don't want you living on campus. So he said, I got to find me a little place to live, but I won't have any transportation. So I said, well, let's see if Brother Fleming will bring you to church, and which he said he would be glad to do. So, but I haven't heard from him, so I don't know. I will just have to see. All right, we're going downstairs, I hear, to eat cake and ice cream because it's my birthday tomorrow. So, you know, they couldn't keep that. I told them, I said, y'all could have been downstairs when I got here. You know. Anyway, let's go downstairs and eat cake and ice cream. Yeah, I'm 65.
Happy birthday, Brother Smith. Happy birthday to you.
Oh, yeah, I do. All right, praise God. Thank you. I'm glad to still be among you for sure. Aren't we glad? Ron Johnson's with us tonight. Boy, look, when he came in, something in my heart just jumped. All right.